and welcome to Weekly Beats, the podcast in which two guys give you their perspective on the week in music. My name is Charlie.
Howdy, I'm Mark.
And this week on the show, we are talking about the latest album from pop sensation Kesha. She is back from a long, arduous, horrific battle with the legal system, and she has released her third album, Rainbow, to the masses. It's Rainbow, right?
Yeah.
It's not Spaceship. It's a spaceship on the cover, but it's not called Spaceship. It's called Rainbow. So we're going to talk about Rainbow. We're going to talk about what Kesha's been up to for the past 6 years or so. And then we'll also spend a little bit of time talking about the debut album mixtape EP thing from rapper Lil Peep. It's going to be a controversial conversation for sure. That piece of music is called Come Over When You're Sober Part 1. And then after that conversation, we'll also be checking a look at the latest track on the Billboard Hot 100. This week it belongs to Cardi B. The track Bodak Yellow comes in at slot number 8. So it's a slam bam stuffed full week here on Weekly Beats. A little bit of everything here, Mark, huh?
Yeah, there's a lot of different places we're about to be.
We are going to zip zap all over the place here.
Are we going to zip zap zop?
No, we are absolutely not going to zip zap zop. We are going to zip and then we're going to zap and that will be it. No zopping involved whatsoever.
That's the only part that makes it worth it.
No, we're going to ruin it. We're going to set everyone up for failure. We're going to zip zap and then we're going to zip again. And then we're going to zap again. No zop. We're never going to zop.
This is a terrible improv game. We'll never be coordinated.
I know. All right. Do you have anything that you need to tell the people about before we get into this bad boy, or do you just want to start talking about spaceships and rainbows?
You know what? If you mean the album, I'm indifferent to talking about it, but if you mean the concepts of spaceships and rainbows, I will talk your ear off.
Okay, let's talk about those for a little bit. What's your ideal version of a flying saucer? Like, what does it look like?
I like the flying saucers where, because it's an old movie, the parts that they have to land on are always, like, lowered, like the legs on the UFO, so it's always floating around like it's got three legs. That's the perfect one.
And they're always, like, hanging out there? They don't retract, like, landing gear?
Yeah, exactly. That's the one.
Okay. Does your ideal flying saucer make any, noise? Any sound effects as it flies through the air?
Like, maybe a
nice,
you know, and then whenever you see it like in space, you don't really hear that part, but you maybe just hear like a little like ting, ting, little tinking noise.
Good, yeah, on your radar.
Yeah. What's your spaceship look like?
My spaceship looks like, well, it's red, ideally. I want a red-colored flying saucer. I want a big glass dome on top with a little alien head peeking out, waving at me.
Oh, good, yeah.
And I want it to make the noise.
The alien or the ship?
Both. That's the way it flies, actually, is the alien has to make that noise, and then the ship also makes that noise.
Yeah, that's sort of like real-life traffic, where you have to be really angry and screaming to make a car go.
I Am Become Spaceship is the name of my science fiction novel about an alien who discovers a flying saucer and decides that he is going to become the flying saucer.
Wow. So it sounds like he accomplishes his goal really immediately. Does the book go on after that?
There are some setbacks along the way.
Oh, okay.
You know, not everything comes easily to little green man there, but, you know, he does okay.
I Am Become Spaceship, but first I learn grammar.
That's in parentheses in the title. And it's nothing but an instructional booklet on how to compose proper sentences. It's actually a grammar book.
It's just a vocab like quiz.
Yeah. It's all worksheets.
Wow.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about Kesha's album. This is Rainbow. This is the long-awaited return from the pop star here. After her long battle with Dr. Luke and her battle to get her name back on the airwaves and to break free of the contract that has held her sway, and certainly to bring light to some of the intense sexual issues that she had faced. And I think a lot of folks were very excited for this album to drop. I get the sense that this is a big release on the year, one that a lot of folks will look back on with fond memories. She premiered and previewed this album with the single Praying, which was a radical departure to form, and also followed it up with the track Woman, which was maybe something a little bit more similar to her sound, but also a bit countrified. Here we are. The full album is in front of us. We've got Rainbow here. Mark, what are you thinking? How does it hold up?
As someone who's never listened to Kesha, I was surprised at the wide range of feelings and genre trappings in Rainbow. I was surprised at how often there are a few tracks on here that are like, okay, this is what I would expect any, you know, very prominent female pop star to sound like that is going to be on the radio. Like Learn to Let Go is definitely one of those. But there's a lot of songs on here that totally are left field stuff. There's times on this where I felt like this sounds almost more like a Flaming Lips track than it does like a modern radio track. I was actually very surprised.
You're not a fan of Kesha? You haven't listened to her stuff before?
Yeah, that's not to say I don't like Kesha. I've just not really ever listened to Kesha.
Yeah, I'll say that I know her big singles, you know, like from back in the day, stuff like TikTok and We Are Who We Are, those club bangers. And I think that her reputation before this was kind of like the trashy club dance lady that was only there to blow glitter out of her butt and, you know, get crunked, have a great time, right? That was kind of the persona that she had cultivated on her previous records. And I think also she was certainly a big pushing force in getting more of the auto-tune female vocals and that kind of like rap, dirty grunginess stuff that was happening, right? Like she had a style that was like Lady Gaga in production, but grittier and nastier and rougher around the edges and not always pleasing to listen to. I think that she has some definitely intriguing stuff. I like the bangers that she puts out, but it wasn't always an easy listen.
Yeah.
And so this record is interesting because she is almost completely removing that influence from her music. She's still got some bangers on here. She's still going to be the party queen. But this is an album that is much more focused on her own personal vocal delivery. She is trying to be a vocalist on this record, not just a pop star.
Right.
She is going back to some country roots, being born in Nashville or living in Nashville. She's got that country blues background that certainly rears its head several times on here. Not the least of which is when she brings in Dolly Parton to feature on a track here.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you that it is a strange amalgamation of styles, and it shifts and swings wildly from one genre to the next, from track to track. In some ways, it's kind of exhausting to keep up with it, and I think that there are places where it slips and doesn't quite deliver, but I think it's pretty interesting for an established pop star to alter course so drastically and to find some more successes than I think she does failures on this thing. I think it's not a bad album overall.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed it. And I think that as far as her genre hopping, I think one of the things that made me at least feel... because there was times where I also felt like this isn't really hitting on all cylinders. This isn't a flawless experience. Some of these tracks aren't doing it. I think it's because the sequencing in this thing is awful.
Yeah.
Like the tonal and like narrative swings feel completely at random. Like it almost feels more like a concert where you come out with your big three singles and then you're just going to have your kind of like, here's our ballads, our slower stuff. And like now that you're pumped up, we can do these. And then, you know, you end with your guest part, and then you got your final two encore songs there to get the crowd pumped back up or whatever. Like, it doesn't feel like a cohesive, straightforward experience in that way.
Sure. And I wonder how much of that has to do with the fact that this album did take 6 years to release. You know, how much of this stuff has been sitting on the shelf for a while, and now it's finally brought together. I get the sense that that is maybe not entirely her fault. Certainly she's gone through a lot of struggles over the past few years, and this final product might not be indicative of the cohesive artist statement that she's going for here. I think that there's definitely overarching themes of redemption, of perseverance, of strong female qualities, but mm-hmm. there are also some tracks about being in love with Godzilla and like just hanging out with the Eagles of Death Metal, you know. So yeah, it's a weird interesting album, man. There's a lot happening on here.
Yeah, that I like that Godzilla track a whole lot.
Yeah,
yeah.
At first I thought it was just like an allegory for a man, but I think she just genuinely means Godzilla here.
Really? What? I do feel like it's an allegory. What changed your mind?
I don't know. I just feel like it's she's a goofy lady. Why not make a song about Godzilla? I feel like she didn't intend for it to be symbolic. It's just kind of like, it's Godzilla.
It's Godzilla. Well, for someone who, in your description, shoots glitter out of her butt, I feel like that is not the tone she would take when saying it's Godzilla. I feel like she would be way more enthusiastic about it being Godzilla.
Yeah. Well, the song is very acoustic and withheld. So that's why it's Godzilla. it's kind of a little like twee track though, right? I mean, it's kind of an interesting, even an outlier here with the second to last track on the album.
Well, okay. I'm no Kesha historian. I mean, I'm much more, I am a glitter butt historian, but I'm no Kesha historian. I haven't kept up with her personal life at all, but wasn't she involved in an abusive relationship?
Yeah, it's possible.
Oh man, I feel like I gotta Google this while we're recording, but wouldn't that make the Godzilla song, wouldn't that put the Godzilla song into context?
I mean, if you want to get symbolic about it, I guess so, yeah.
Well, I mean, I do. I love symbolism, and I'm not going to deny it. Okay, the first MTV.com, I just typed Kesha Boyf, and what immediately came up was a MTV.com article that says, Kesha's taking aim at lying sack of shit ex-boyfriend, a new song. And that was for
the
song.
Is it Godzilla?
No, it's for the song You Suck Ass.
Oh, that sounds like it's fun.
Yeah.
That's a good Kesha title. All right, so we've got acoustic ballads. We've got gospel choir soul-pouring moments. We've got up-tempo dance tracks. We've got a Dolly Parton duet. We've got not one but two Eagles of Death Metal features on this album. We've got your traditional songs for pop radio. We've got the uplifting, emotional, fun-sounding track produced by Ben Folds. I mean, this thing is all over the place, man. Yeah. What do you get a sense of what is working best for her here? Do you think she works best with the acoustic stuff, or is the up-tempo stuff more satisfying to you? You know, is there an area where you feel she's best on this record?
Yeah, that's a really good question, actually. I hadn't really considered her in that way because I don't know if there's any one part of this album where I feel like she is taking this genre and using it the most effectively. I think, you know, a song like Woman or Learn to Let Go, which are the obvious radio-friendly singles, I think, along with Let 'Em Talk, is when the production is so sort of pitch perfect that those songs might not get me as much as the other more, I don't know, inventive tracks on the album do, but I do feel like that feels like a natural fit. But then there's tracks like the album opener Bastards. And it's like, on one hand, this song has a lot of tenets of these sort of acoustic self-acceptance ballads that I find kind of distasteful. It starts with her counting down the time, and you can kind of hear like the tapping of the acoustic guitar as they get ready to play it. And I hate that trope more than any trope. Like, to me, that trope screams out, wow, I'm just going to get real and really just take it down a notch here. But
I'm gonna get so authentic right now.
You have no idea how authentic this is about to be.
We're in a barn.
Okay, well, Nico Case did record an album in her barn.
Okay,
so
excuse me.
Yeah. But then Bastards ends up being actually a pretty insightful track that I think is heartfelt. I think is sincere. and ends up being, I think, really effective. And I still take issue with some of the stuff, and I think the trappings of it are kind of odd. I think some of the acoustic guitar actual playing is maybe not that interesting, but it builds really well. I mean, this is kind of a complicated album in some ways. It's not perfect, but I think it's got a lot to say.
Yeah, man. And I was doing a lot of thinking, trying to compare this album with Lady Gaga's Joanne, because I think a lot of the times these two seem to cross paths, or at least in my mind, of being visual provocateur pop artists in the early 2010 decade or the late 2000s. But then also trying to find their way on an album that turns to more of a country, down-home sound, stripping away the things that made them who they are and trying to reestablish their identity. Mm-hmm. And I think you and I both agreed that Lady Gaga's Joanne was not as satisfying. I think maybe you liked it more than I did, if I remember correctly. But I think this album actually might be better than that, and I can't figure out why, because like you said, there are elements of it that I agree are problematic, and certainly there's no one song on here that I think is totally flawless, but I'm still drawn to the emotions here, and I don't know if it's because of the anguish you can feel in her voice, if because she's a better country fit than Lady Gaga is. I don't know what it is, but those two albums seem to be paired up in my mind.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think this is a better album than that Lady Gaga album. And I think a big reason for me is that if you're to judge a musician, you know, for like the first step in interpreting a musician or enjoying a musician and is in how much they mean it, I think Lady Gaga's last album came across a little bit. I think it was overall effective, but I think it was sort of nakedly a rebranding. I mean, there's something almost corporate to the idea that now she's like, I am the stripped down Lady Gaga. You know, it's not like a David Bowie character so much as it's like a production of multiple people deciding what her image would be. And for Rainbow, it's not perfect. I think it's got maybe more visible flaws, but I believe her in all of these songs. Even the ones I don't like, I find that she is being totally earnest and heartfelt. And luckily for me, at least, she doesn't fall prey to the same. And this could maybe be because, like you said, this has been 6 years in the making, but she doesn't fall prey to the same 70s revival nonsense that every other pop artist right now is doing. So maybe that also helped me a little bit because I hate that stuff. But I think she's a believable person here. I see the person that is Kesha and not the pop star.
Yeah. Speaking of falling prey, let's talk a little bit about Praying, because that is the big single here. Again, I think that's a great centerpiece for this record. And a really important single off of this bad boy. Clearly the subtext is there from her own personal existence and her troubles. It's very autobiographical. You can feel it. And it's also, I think, the clearest example of her attempting to be just a straightforward vocalist. And I'll say that, you know, her range is not as wide as other pop stars, and she can't hit those high notes as well as she wants to. But again, there's something about that song that's pretty compelling. Lyrically, it's not super inventive, but man, that performance, there's something about it that is strangely affecting.
Yeah. I believe that that's just like her believing what she's saying. This is the result of her really wanting to express and not being made to do it as a job.
Yeah. And that's a powerful thing, man. That you talk about authenticity in music, and it doesn't get much more real than that.
And let's not like completely underplay what she does here as far as like lyrics or narrative. I mean, there's some really like weirdly fascinating choices that are in this album. I mean, Praying, like you said, it's a pretty it feels like a pretty personal statement. But a song like Woman, which is, you know, a pretty obvious let's celebrate women kind of call to arms. You know, I'm a woman. I can make my own way in the world. I don't need anybody to tell me what to do. Pretty obvious points to rally around, but there's an interesting decision in this song, which is to use a take of her laughing as she's sort of yelling at these misogynist people, maybe. Like, you get a sense the song is directed at some of the men that maybe have been in her life. And the fact that she's laughing on this angry track is such an empowering choice, you know, to undercut the people she's yelling at in that way is kind of fascinating.
Yeah, I'll say that the intent behind it, as you explained it, makes a lot of sense. But I think that laughing moment is really cringy. I really don't like that at all.
Just doesn't rub you the right way.
I really don't like it. I think it's a horrible choice. But I will say that, you know, Woman is another track that I'm really conflicted with, because you got this killer horn feature from the Dap Kings horns that sound just super tight. Any horn feature you throw on a track is going to make me feel happy. Love these guys on here. But, man, the lead off, the opening to this chorus is like the hook of the year, man. This thing is a dynamite. Now, the song itself, I don't know if I love the whole way through, but, man, you got to hear this hook. I'm going to play it so you can hear it. That's a dynamite hook right there, man. That's really good.
Yeah. That's dynamite.
The kind of thing that'll get stuck in your ear and you just can't help but feel the power inside of that, man.
Yeah. And that's, I expected maybe the album to be primarily that and some more traditionally, you know, contemporary radio friendly hits in here.
Yeah.
But I will say that track also gets me. I think it's interesting. I think that hook is really strong. And I think the fact that it's it has something to say, but is also very fun, and that both of those things are treated as equally important in the song is kind of interesting.
Consider, I mean, you and I have been exploring the Billboard Hot 100 this whole year. This track doesn't really sound like a whole lot of the popular stuff that's out there right now.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think it would be a pretty cool change of pace to hear this take over the radio stations.
Certainly better than a Body Like a Back Road or a French Montana hit song, for example.
Yeah, there's a meaning and a purpose behind this track.
But we both agree that there are moments when we're not feeling this thing, right?
Of course, yeah.
So one of those for
Can
me...
I go first?
Oh, yeah,
Can
go
I go
for
first,
it.
Please? Yes. Him is really bad.
Oh, my God. That's the first... I was about to say, the first three songs, I'm all there. The second we hit Him, I'm like, uh-oh. Where are we about to go, Kesha? Where are you driving this?
Throw the brakes. Him is a weaker version of a lift-up track, but, man, the energy is sapped out of this thing. Lyrically, it's kind of gross. I get that you want to maybe have a religious-feeling song for the non-religiously-minded.
Right.
But man, this doesn't work at all for me.
Yeah,
I think it's
totally.
A big miss.
Totally.
Let's play a little bit of Him. And that's the worst part of it right there.
Yeah.
Him.
But even that the riff that she's sticking with there. That's kind of a painful thing too.
Yeah. It's a big miss here. Really nothing redeeming about that track. I think it's pretty awful.
Yeah, and the fact that it's right before Praying is just such a weird
Yeah, because Praying is such a more powerful version of a similar kind of feeling there. It's a slower, uplifting ballad power track. And man, like this takes all the wind out of that sails. You kind of get like the false start there.
And I mean, think about where you're at in the sound at this point. You start with Bastards. Bastards is, you know, it wins, at least for me, it wins you over. You know, it's a slower, more moving track that really builds. And you're like, wow, like this is not how I would expect a Kesha album to open.
A surprising opener.
Exactly. Going to Let Them Talk, super high energy. And then Woman, you know.
Up to 11.
Yeah. Going to Woman, also high energy.
Bringing the horns.
Yeah, you're bringing in the horns. The sound is now changing. You're getting a sense that this is going to be an album with a lot of different types of music. And then just jumping off a cliff, just falling into a pool, and just sort of floating around.
It's a
flatliner. It also makes Praying a little, in the context of the album, a little worse, because you've already sat with this similar song and tone and pace. It's doubly as long for no good reason.
And it gets back to the maybe the questionable sequencing that you brought up. I think that's a bad choice there.
Yeah, I have similar problems with Hunt You Down.
Yep, that's my next one.
And then going into Old Flames, where there those are fairly different tracks, I guess, but at the same time, I feel like they fulfill a pretty similar need for the album or thing that it has to say. And I don't know, I just don't understand why we couldn't be saving these songs for later, maybe.
Yeah, you know, why they are both... Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say why we have to have both.
Yeah, no, they are both very traditional country tunes. They sound the most like something you'd hear on country radio today.
Yeah. And it's I think it's made more difficult, at least in Old Flames, by the fact that Kesha is so deeply overshadowing Dolly Parton, which is like a weird choice for her to be such a legend, then for Kesha to essentially relegate her to a backup singer it's kind of like annoying. It's kind of an annoying song to me.
And I mean, I know Dolly Parton's getting up there, but man, she can still sing, man. She got that voice, man. She gets up there in that upper register. Oh, yeah. It's gorgeous.
Well, yeah, give her the front seat. Like that. And if you're going to have two country songs on your album, at least have one of them, the one with Dolly Parton, perhaps, the one where you're not in the driver's seat.
Yeah, let her take the reins on this one, sweetie.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. She explicitly says in this album not to call her sweetie.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking. I was. I need to listen to it again. I didn't hear it enough.
Maybe this album was about you this whole time.
Question: does she drop the F-bomb on every single track on this thing?
I don't think so. And that ends our question answer segment for the Kesha review.
Okay, Praying doesn't have it, but she uses it in a number of places.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I have to say about that. All right, can we talk a little bit about the Eagles of Death Metal on this thing? Not necessarily a country group here, but they are sort of that like trailer park rock band that gets together every once in a while and puts out an album occasionally. We got Jesse Hughes on what I'm guessing is the guitar here and the vocals on Boogie Feet and Let 'Em Talk. Two very different sounding tracks. Your thoughts on their inclusion here, Mark?
I think Let 'Em Talk, it's maybe a little too Shake It Off adjacent for me. Like rhythmically, they're really similar. They're basically the exact same message. I mean, they might as well be the same song, really. But I do think it's maybe sharper and more energetic than Boogie Feet. Boogie Feet's not like a memorable rock song to me. And it's not.
Agreed.
Considering you already have one of these, it's another moment where I'm just wondering why we have two.
Yeah, I'm surprised they got two features for that one band on here.
Yeah.
And they're like the Eagles of Death Metal of all people. Like, what's the connection there?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's kind of odd. I don't know.
Let's play a little bit of Boogie Feet. That sounds like a straight-up Eagles death metal song to me.
Yeah.
That sounds like an album cut. I mean, that guitar riff is really powerful right off their most notable stuff. Bringing Kesha as a feature there, and I buy that as an Eagles death metal song straight up.
Yeah, sure. I think it's I have less problems with that track than I do with the other duplicates, but at the same time, I can't help but feel, even though I think that song is okay, like I like that song okay, I still can't help but feel like, why are we saying, why, I don't know, why do we have two of this moment? Like, why do we need this twice?
Yeah. I'll agree with you that Let 'Em Talk is very in line with Shake It Off. Certainly up-tempo, feel-good party jam. Mm-hmm. But you know what, Mark? There's something about it that I just think is really good.
Yeah? Do you like Shake It Off?
I think it's okay. I'm not a huge Shake It Off fan, but man, this thing does it for me. Let's play a little bit of Let 'Em Talk. Yeah. I really like that they go to 11 on this thing. I think we needed a track like that, that is stuffed full of sugar and ADHD and off the walls activity. Mm-hmm. I think this commits. I love the way they pitch up her vocals and that lead into the chorus to something that's off the human scale. It feels like if you took Taylor Swift and then had her performed by Andrew WK. It's like straddling that line between let's get a party going and shake off the haters, and I think it's really good.
Yeah, I also like the track. I also really like that comparison.
It's got that like party jam to it, right?
Yeah, I will say, if I had to levy some criticism against it, I think that the guitar work of Eagles of Death Metal Man is like a little, like, I don't know what the right word is here. It's just a little too like major key, like Disney Channel electric guitar for me. Like there's a little bit too much of that, you know, like palm muted easy stuff. But I think when she enters the track, it becomes very fun. It's very easy to like that track.
She does say in the chorus that life is just our party palace. And I think if the track was called Party Palace and Andrew WK released it, it'd be a pretty great track. So
let's build a party palace. Let's build a party palace.
I also don't know how I feel about her counting in the last chorus with un, deux, trois, four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's, but that's also a very Kesha thing to do.
Uno, dos, tres, catorce, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah. They did it first. You two did it first. Also a great line in that bridge. I've decided all the haters everywhere can suck my d-. It's a pretty great lead into the final chorus.
Yeah. That is actually pretty good. I did not catch that.
Because she performs it so quietly. I'm going to see if I can find it here.
Okay.
Here we go.
Oh, I do remember this.
And there you go, man. Yeah. What's not to love about that, right?
Yeah, I'm there. I'm there with you. It's a fun party.
It is a party. It is a party where glitter would shoot out of someone's butt.
That's your favorite kind of party. It's the kind of party that happened at a party palace.
Yeah. We get the final track on here, Spaceship. Pretty powerful lasting image of someone wishing for the spaceship to come down and pick them up and take them back to their home planet. It ends kind of peculiarly with an outro. I want to read this. I don't know if this is the mantra of the record or the theme statement or whatever, but here we go. It says, "As I leave this earth and sail into the infinite cosmic universe, the wars, the triumphs, the beauty and the bloodshed, the ocean of human endeavor, it all grows quiet, insignificant. I'm nothing more than recycled stardust and borrowed energy, born from a rock spinning in the aether. I watch my life backwards and forwards, and I feel free. Nothing is real. Love is everything, and I know nothing."
Wow.
And then the album ends.
Is that what she's saying when she's standing in the 80s Art Deco ocean on the album cover?
I'm pretty sure that's... If you were to caption that image, that's what it would say.
Yeah. I think the... I don't know. I think Spaceship is something about how earnest that is, and it reminds me of Flaming Lips, little bit of the space imagery there, but I don't know, the slow, like, listening to the rocket take off part was like a little we talk about cringeworthy. That's a little cringeworthy for me, I think. That moment,
it's not something I think that's been done before, but it feels like it's been a replica of what's been done before, you know.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of like a David Bowie track, or you said the Flaming Lips, or, you know, someone else that's a bit more.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just don't know if she was aesthetically committed to any one concept enough to pull that off. You know, like, I feel like each track is a completely different human being. And I don't know. I think using a rocket taking off for the conclusion of your album maybe requires some building up too.
Yeah.
But
Man, I gotta say, I had sort of mixed expectations going in, and they were met, I would say. I think there are some low points on this record, but I also think there are a decent number of high points and a number of surprises that is not expected for an artist like Kesha. I think she's come back with something that is worth listening to and discussing, and I gotta say, I'm excited to see what she does in the future. I'm excited to see her continue to hone the sound. I think I still like her party jams a bit more, but I think on this record that she proves she doesn't have to rely on those rap club remix kind of tracks to find success. I think there's a lot of good stuff on this thing.
Yeah, I think this is like a statement. Like, this proves that she is more than another, just one more pop artist who managed to have this really catchy single or a common aesthetic, and then we'll sort of like float on that until they float off into the ether, like someone like, I think, Meghan Trainor will.
Yeah, man, Meghan Trainor's awful.
Yeah, I don't. I think Kesha is more than that.
Yeah. All right. I think that'll do it for me. Let's go to the highlight reel and pick some highlights here. Mark, you know what? I'm feeling generous tonight. I think I'm gonna take three off this thing.
Oh, wow. How nice of you. How generous of you.
I was going to go with two, but you know what? There's just, I feel like I'm going to want these tracks on my list at the end of the year. I want a stamp of these tracks on my my top list. So I'm going to take Praying, obviously, because that's a pretty emotional, moving track. I think it's a track that Kesha is very proud of. I get the sense that a lot went into that, both, you know, emotionally and creatively. And I think she deserves credit for that. I'm going to take Woman because, man, that might just be the best pop hook of the year, even though I have some problems with other parts of that song. And I got to take Let 'Em Talk because I want to be at that party until I puke, in the words of Andrew W.K.
Fair enough. We got to build a party palace.
Life is just a party palace, and I'm hanging out inside it all night long.
Nice. Can I come to your party?
Of course.
Is anybody else invited to your party?
Yeah, everyone. Everyone's invited to my party palace.
Okay, because usually when I show up there, it's just you. And that's a little uncomfortable.
Well, when I say everyone, you have to understand you're the only other human being that I know of. So
that you know of.
Everyone else is just a figment of my imagination.
Wow, that's a huge compliment. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a little more conservative with my song spending wallet. I'm going to take Woman as well, because I agree with you. I think that hook's really strong. And then I'm going to take a track we actually didn't address at all, Boots.
Because wow.
I think Boots is one of the, it's like it's a song that I can't see myself easily getting tired of. It's got some, I think it's indicative of the album, where I have some serious qualms with the song. I think the intro of the song is not amazing. I think There's a really cringy moment on here where she talks about if you can't handle her claws, then you can't handle this pussy, which is just kind of bad. Like, I listen to it, I was like, oh, don't ruin this track with that.
Because she, like, talks it, right? If you can't handle this. Yeah.
Oh, please. let's play it out.
No, let's play it.
Okay.
Oh, that eagle cry at the beginning of the track is pretty good, though.
Yeah.
If you can't handle these claws, you don't get this kitty.
That's pretty bad. But I think the lead up to that moment, it kind of, it's like an unconventional dance track. It almost feels, something about it feels like, I don't know, like a classical like dance song in structure or something. Like, there's something that's kind of a little off key about it that I like. So,
and that eagle cry, man.
Yeah.
All right. That's an unconventional pick. I'm a little surprised by it, but all right. Good for you.
Also, mixed message, because if she's not that eagle, then she's a cat.
Who is the eagle?
What's this eagle all about?
It's just American.
Oh, it's America.
Pure blood America.
Well, that's the only kind of America I accept.
Yes, 100%. Pure blood. None of that mud blood stuff.
Oh, well, I feel like this is actually, speaking of mudbloods, this might be a great transition to our next review.
All right, man. You want to talk about Lil Peep?
I don't know if I would like to talk about Lil Peep, yes. I don't know if I would like to think about Lil Peep too hard.
Let's have a conversation about the artist known as Lil Peep.
Yeah.
Come Over When You're Sober, Part 1, is the first official release from this gentleman, but he has put out a number of tracks before this. Mark, you brought him up on a previous episode, yes? You were actually talking mm-hmm. about him previously?
Yes.
Remind me what you said about him at the time.
Well, I had listened to a bunch of the singles that he had put up on his YouTube page and then had made their way onto Spotify, including actually this one, the opener to Come Over When You're Sober, Ben's Truck. And I, at the time, had maybe, I don't know, there's something about him not having put out a full album. I felt like this is just a teaser for something else. But I had felt at the time that what he had essentially done was taken emo rock and rap music and put them together. But it's almost as if there was no interlocking of the ideas. They're just both kind of there at the same time. I think I had like a food metaphor where it's like eating a pizza and ice cream. Where it's like those, mm-hmm. yeah, that's fine having those, but you've just put ice cream on the pizza. It's just kind of making both of them sound like you're bad at making them.
Yeah, definitely. This is my first time with Lil Peep, and you can definitely feel that. I mean, he calls himself a rapper, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's a whole discussion to be had here of, is this rap music? Because a lot of his performance on these things is more sung, delivered. There are rap beats happening underneath it, but it sounds like straight emo music. It sounds like Blink-182 went on a depressive episode and started singing about horrible things happening to them. It's very much in line with other rock or emo rock music, just with the trap beat kind of bumping on over top of it. It's sort of a bizarre combination, but also, Mark, you've been very vocal this year about trying to explain to me how trap music is just the emo version of rap music. And I think that correlation has never been clearer to me than on this record. Granted, that's, I think, his intent here, but, you know, as I don't think that this thing is complete as a statement, and I think it gets kind of tough to sit in this space for the limited amount of time that we do spend with Lil Peep here, but I'm not totally convinced this stuff is awful. I think there's something to be had about playing with these sounds in this way, and I'm kind of intrigued by what's going on here, at least more than I have with some of the trap tunes we've been listening to, and I'm not quite sure why.
Yeah, I'm also not quite sure why.
Are you feeling the same way?
Well, I started that way with those singles. I was compelled to listen to them, and even though I had listened to three of like the five that were available, I'd still thought, okay, I feel as if all of these are bad. They are not good, but maybe the fourth one will be good. And I actually feel pretty comfortable in just saying I don't think Lil Peep is good at this point. Having listened to this thing three or four times now, sort of always searching for a reason to not find it like garbage, I haven't been able to find one. I'm surprised that you feel this way. I'm really curious. Like, where are you feeling the most excited about on this thing?
I don't know that I'm feeling excited ever on this thing, but intrigued is maybe more what I'm into. I think the instrumental background stuff that he's got going on here, the really dour minor guitars, it sounds sort of like light grunge music almost.
Yeah.
You know, like it's getting that sort of crossover. I think I've read where he's been compared to Kurt Cobain of the trap scene, where he's kind of just throwing his mood over top of everything. And all of these songs are really depressing and just black hole, no hope, very emo sounding. But I think it's the instrumentals. I think it's maybe the combination of his vocals, which are more reminiscent of a traditional kind of rock tune.
Okay.
That brings me back. I don't know, man. I'm trying to figure it out. I'll say Yeah. I'll say that this has made me want to go back and revisit some of those other trap tunes we've talked about this year, because maybe now I've got a different lens for appreciating those.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't think this thing is garbage.
This
I think
is crazy.
I'm as baffled as you are, man.
I left this thing after also having revisited Young Thug's newest album and the 2 Chainz album from this year, and thinking to myself, trap music is dubstep, and this is the where everything is, it's too oversaturated, and now it's going to really go downhill. So we've essentially had the complete opposite experiences.
Because I'm feeling like this might channel some new energy into the genre and propel it in a different direction.
And I'm like, someone has taken the wheel to the car because Future had too many Xannies, and they are driving it off of the bridge.
Okay, let's play Ben's Truck. I think it's a good starting point. I'll play a little bit from that, the opening track here. So there's your mood. It doesn't really change from that.
Mm-hmm.
There you
God.
Go. I think it's all right. I think it's okay.
Is amazing.
I can't believe I'm saying
it. We've been talking about this, and you wouldn't take even the top shelf stuff. Bad. And now this guy comes along talking about being in the club but being real sad about it, and this is the time?
It might be it.
Oh my god. You're blowing my mind.
I am as, believe me, as surprised as you are.
Those vocals are so overprocessed. His whole delivery is just, little Bo Peep in the car. And he just does 8 of the himself at a time. And that's what the vocals are, where it just all sounds like weird and filtered.
But don't you find that kind of compelling? I mean, I don't know. I'm drawn to that sound. I think it sounds interesting.
I mean, it's interesting, yeah. That's why I picked it, but I just don't think it's good.
Is there a track on here that you think best exemplifies his horrific talent?
You know what? I might have to go.
That one.
This is like, I'm looking at it and I'm like, well, it should be this one, but then I say the next one. I think maybe. Better Off Dying is a good starting space.
Okay, let's do some of that. Better Off Dying.
Now, can you pause here real quick? So at that point in the song, I was thinking, oh, this is what I've been looking for. If this blossoms into a weird trap thing, but it maintains that mood, this could be good. But keep it going. Okay, so for me, this is the best song on the album. And the second he kicks in, I hate his vocal style. I find it like unlistenable almost.
Okay, here's my thought. If you increase the tempo about double it. Does that make sense? Double?
Yeah.
That's a little bit fast, but increase it and pitch it up a little bit and make it more major. Mm-hmm. I think that's like a Blink-182 riff of a vocal melody.
But I don't think he can vocally do that. Actually, you know what? Let's just increase it by 1.5 speed.
Okay.
Can you do that on Spotify? No, I might have to find some other way to do that.
I can find some other way to do that. That could be good for the interlude of this episode.
Okay, yeah. Before the 30-second breakdown, be prepared to listen to a really interesting version of Lil Peep.
Okay. There's something about the guitar work that's going on that's kind of dour and minor that reminds me of some grunge bands that I like. His screaming vocals, I don't mind. I think there's something in the anguish of it. It's certainly not clean or pleasant to listen to, but I think that's the aesthetic he's going for.
Yeah,
I think that this sound is hard to sit in, even in the space of the, what, seven or so tracks on this thing? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's real short, and it still feels long. It feels longer than the Kesha album. But I'm strangely intrigued by what I'm listening to on here. So maybe with some more tracks, I'll come to hate it in time like you seem to. But as it stands right now, this is not the worst.
There's like a bleeding effect vocally he has, you know,
okay,
where it's because all of him are like slightly at different points, you know, like to make it sound like there's a lot of vocals happening.
Right.
There's something about it where I think if you were to isolate those vocals without that effect, he would just sound like some guy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't actually think he's much of a singer without that. And with that, he just sounds like a lot of bad singers.
A chorus of bad singers.
Yeah.
So a question, is this rap?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Well, do you think debate. It's rap?
I mean, why not, right?
Wow, it does settle. We have the same thought. It does settle that debate.
All right, settle.
Oh.
I'm honestly surprised that you hate it as much as you do.
Okay, I'm surprised that you haven't collapsed under your own inconsistencies here. Because when
my
we did,
own hypocriticism?
When we talked about Lil Uzi Vert, to me, that was emo in a trap song, right? Like, I think that is a true version of what
Push
this is.
Push me to the edge, all my friends are dead.
Yeah, totally. That's exactly what this guy's doing. He's talking about being a little Bo Peep and being sad because he's going to die or whatever. Do not throw that lyric at me as if this isn't full of way worse stuff.
Lyrically, I feel like it's on par with other trap tunes, though. I feel like it's not saying anything that's different or worse than other tracks.
Yeah. I agree. This has the worst tenets of that genre in it.
What do you think, Lil Bo Peep? You think that's accurate?
So lame.
He's Lil Bo Peep.
Do you like that?
I think Lil Peep is kind of a funny name.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up? I'm Lil Peep.
Okay, I have an idea that maybe will kickstart this discussion a little bit. Because I almost always, when we talk about an album on the show, I just don't... I avoid all criticism and writing about it if possible, even like preview stuff, just to talk about it with you. But I ended up reading an article on The Ringer called "Is Lil Peep a Good Rapper or a Bad Rapper?" That I'm not going to remember exactly what the author said. I'll bring it up here so maybe I can find it. But he had a criticism that is going to sum up how I feel about Lil Peep more than anything I'll say here will. He just did it better. Which is essentially that he feels like this is some like just emo SoundCloud rap. You know? Just some SoundCloud page where a guy's uploading his beats, you know? SoundCloud rap is a really good way to think about this album.
Yeah. And, you know, in all honesty, it'll probably be swept away after the year is over. And if he can't take the sound and go anywhere with it, then that will definitely happen. But I think that he has found a combination that may lead to greater success in the future. I like the combination of sounds here. I like the mumble rap stuff and the screaming he gets into here with the light, dour guitar that's happening in the background.
Yeah. I don't know why.
I don't know what else to tell you.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Like, all our discussion around with Kesha. I just totally ran out of any things to say about him.
He's not rapping. I don't think he's rapping, but he may consider himself a rap artist.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you play another clip? Let's try to... God, this is an embarrassment.
Let's do Awful Things. I feel like that's the big single off this record.
Great.
That to me sounds like an Incubus track, you know, some like cool '90s alternative rock tune.
I agree with that.
I like the sound of that a lot.
But that.
He just mumbled through the last lyrics. He didn't even say the words. Let's keep it going.
Oh, God.
There's the big single.
Yeah. I think... Okay, so if we're going to talk about him as a, like, emo figure, you like that guitar work there.
Sure.
I agree with you. Like, aesthetically, I think you're dead on. But I guess maybe I find it a little bit, like, cheap sounding. Like, it something about it feels kind of sloppy and not well written. The guitars aren't really the focus of the song, so that's not really something, a criticism I can levy too heavily against it, but I always feel like the riffs are just sort of a little off key. They don't really bring a lot to the table. You're not meant to think about them too hard, I don't think, but they just sort of introduce, like, you know, okay, here's some minor notes, here's some sad stuff, and then they just are this, like, sort of, because emo guitars are always so, like, high-pitched and whiny, like the vocals, I feel like they always are kind of in the background, just sort of like whining it up while like the drum stuff is happening, and that's kind of off-putting to me.
But you love emo, man.
I don't know. I don't really love emo.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know if I do. I was listening to the Get Up Kids and thinking, like, you know what? This is a genre that was, like, really cool. And it just didn't do it for me. I like to think I like emo. I like My Chemical Romance emo. Let's put it that way.
Okay. That's a good distinction.
And American football.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I do like emo. I don't know. I don't like this, though.
He's just a wandering lost soul, and no one genre wants to keep him, and so he's stuck in between everything.
He's Lil Bo Peep.
Laying on his bed. He's Lil Peep.
Lil Bo Peep.
Lil Bo Peep.
It's so hard to talk about this.
It is, because there's not a lot of stuff happening here.
I just, like, okay, how about this? If that is, like, going to be his strength, is, like, being an emo voice in those trappings, like, why aren't there any, like, interesting, like, riffs? Like, why don't his vocals overperform? Like, emo vocalists are always, like, really pitchy. But he's not pitchy. He's just sort of like, like, he doesn't really do anything with his voice.
Because he's got the ennui, man. He's just in the pits. He's not feeling it right now. He just can't even deliver a song because he's so down.
Why do I want to listen to a song with someone who can't deliver a song?
It's authentic.
Authentically sad, but not authentically good. Besides
Would you
that,
believe... Sorry, go ahead.
No, what? Believe what?
Believe that he recorded the entirety of this album laying down on his bed like he is on the album cover?
Yes, of course I would. I thought you were going to say, would you believe he recorded the entirety of the vocals on this album on accident? And I was going to say yes.
Do you think he just kept hitting record over what he had already recorded and just singing along with it so that he gets that, like, layer?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe that's how he sounds when he talks.
I don't know.
Maybe when he speaks, it's like the mouth of an ancient Greek demon. Many peeps come out.
Many peeps. It's a cute name. It's not very cute sound.
That's true.
Right. Okay, so I'm going to take one.
I don't know why this is happening. It's just not happening.
I'm going to take Venstruck.
Okay.
Because I think it's okay, man. I think there's something there. I don't know if it's fully fleshed out yet, but weirder things have happened this year.
Weirder things have happened this year, sure. I'm trying to find this quote here. And I kind of want to also say this article because I think it's worth reading. So essentially this article on The Ringer is the same writer being a positive and a negative reviewer. It's the whole review is he's the good cop for Lil Peep and the bad cop for Lil Peep, where he essentially argues himself to death about if it's rap and if it's good.
Okay.
Which I think is pretty much how the internet has reacted to this. It's how we're reacting to it, at least.
Yeah. Here's maybe a good question to ask. Does the genre of rap more easily open itself up to amateurs attempting to make it big than other genres? And are we less likely to notice a distinction amongst those who are good at it versus those who don't have a natural talent for it? Right.
Yeah.
So it's like if you're a classical violin player, it's very easy to tell what is good classical violin playing and what is bad.
Right.
If you are speaking words into a microphone, then it's more difficult to objectively judge what is good and what is bad. And certainly the prevalence of voices and the difference in the change in sound over the past decade has resulted in a constant revolving door of who's at the forefront of the popular sound and rap music. And does that unsustainability give rise to more folks like Lil Peep who are more amateurish and maybe wanting to try out different sounds and being hailed as being better or worse than they actually are? Is there a problem inside of that?
Yeah, I think that's a really excellent question, and I'm thankful you asked it because it seems like we've been...
Finally, someone asked a question in this discussion, because, boy, yeah. Lil Peep sucked all the energy out of this.
Like, what? Like, this has never happened this way before, I don't think. But I'm going to compare this exact Lil Peep's whole deal. I don't think there's a lot of people who sound like him, and for that, I'm glad I listened to it. I think it was an interesting listen. But I think... I agree with your assessment that maybe this is going to be one of those things that's appreciated because it's weird, not because it's actually that deep or involved of a genre building thing. I think this is going to be a dubstep situation where it's like, okay, if you don't think too hard about the dubstep you're hearing, all dubstep just sounds the same way and they just get to the same point. But that's not specifically true. I mean, like, I've heard a whole lot of bad Legend of Zelda dubstep remixes, for example, and comparing that to something like sometimes when deadmau5 gets a little dubsteppy, or even like Skrillex, who is kind of infamous, I think there's like some real musicianship there that you can tell the difference. And I think if this becomes a movement, I think it's going to be sort of a bubble like dubstep was, where it's going to be kind of a fad and it's going to fade away. And if it doesn't, it's going to be annoying to have to say the name Lil Peep for more than a few months. I don't like saying Lil Peep.
I kind of like saying Lil Peep.
Oh God, it literally just for the opposite.
This thing is only 24 minutes and it feels like it's 40.
Yeah, so why do you love it? Why is this your favorite album?
I don't love it. I think it's intriguing. I'm taking Venstruck.
You know what? I'm going to have a compromise here. I had taken one of the singles that he had released on Spotify this year that's I don't think on this album. I might keep that one because I do feel like it's an interesting thing to listen to the genre. It's an interesting moment in music right now. But I don't feel particularly compelled to take two tracks from him in a year.
I think that's fair.
Okay.
Okay, good. Well, that's Lil Peep. I'm sure you have thoughts if you listen to him, and I'm sure we'll probably hear at least one other thing from him before the year is out, so stay tuned for that. Also stay tuned for our discussion of Bodak Yellow, Money Moves, coming on the second half of the show. We'll be there, and you will too. Chains on shining, continue riding, cocaine lined up, keep your style hiding. You don't wanna find out where I'm flying, you don't wanna find out that I'm dying. Chains on shining, you can see me riding, cocaine lined up, keep your style hiding. You don't wanna find out where I'm flying, you don't wanna grind out where I'm dying. Maybe I'll dive in, I'll put the time in, even if I try hard, I ain't gonna make it, we ain't gonna make it, we ain't gonna make it. Baby, I'll dive in, I'll put the time in, even if I try hard, I ain't gonna make it, we ain't gonna make it, we ain't gonna make it. I gotta make it. Alrighty, we are back and ready to talk about the latest chart-topping hit on the Billboard Hot 100. This week it belongs to Cardi B, and the track is called Bodak Yellow. Mark, I have no idea what any of those things mean.
I've never heard of this person.
I'm pulled up on the Rap Genius page, and it says that in Bodak Yellow, Cardi references her past as a stripper. Now she cemented her legitimacy in the rap game with her peerless work ethic.
Peerless.
I have no idea who she is or what this is, so we're in for a fun time for all. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'd like to make one quick comment, though.
Okay.
Why is every single rap artist right now all talking about how good their work ethic is?
Because you gotta grind, grind, grind to get on top of that.
But it's like overcompensation.
No.
No? Oh, sorry. I got that one. I got that one wrong.
You're right.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready if you are.
Here we go. Bodak Yellow.
Fuck with me if you wanted to. These expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the score, I can get them both, I don't wanna choose. And I'm quick, cut a nigga off, so don't get comfortable.
All right, and we're in it.
And we're in it.
And we're in it. Get another run at that one. Give me an "and we're in it" as if you're being chased by angry people.
And we're it.
Okay, good, good. Could you give me just one more? But this time, you're being chased by adoring fans, like you're the Beatles or something.
And we're in it.
All right, I think that's probably the correct tone to take for this.
Okay, it sounds... Okay, first off, it's refreshing to hear some actual rap music happening here. This seems like decent lyrics. But it also, the delivery kind of sounds like someone doing a Nicki Minaj impersonation.
Okay, I can see that.
Yeah.
You're impressed with the lyrics so far?
They seem more content. More content. They seem like they've got more content than other songs we talked about.
I think did Lil Peep do something? Did something happen to you during that Lil Peep review? Okay, I guess I could see that these is red bottom, these is bloody shoes, and making them expensive in more ways than one. That could be kind of interesting.
Popular fashion brand Christian Louboutin makes shoes significant with a signature red sole. The brand is widely credited with reviving the sexy stiletto silhouette by implementing exotic skins, luxe fur, and heavy embellishments to produce standout footwear. As seen in the visuals for the song, Cardi wears red bottom heels and then makes a connection between the signature red sole and her image of an aggressive MC, killing the competition and getting the blood on her shoes. That's all right.
So that's from Genius, right?
That's from Genius.
Which, of course, during any 30-second breakdown, it's Genius time. Okay, sure.
How you feeling about the beat on this thing? It's a little bit more traditional.
I don't know. know. I don't know if we hit it yet. I feel like that is it. I could see why you would feel that that's like sort of more of a classic rap thing, that just sort of synthy stuff that you're leading up to. Sure, why not?
Why not? It's interesting, man. I don't know.
It's interesting.
She's talking about cementing her legacy, and I feel like I don't even know who she is. So how can I take her word for it?
You don't feel like I feel like I know her really well.
From that intro?
I feel like I've never known anyone as intimately. Because I, too, have these red shoes I wear every day.
Yeah.
It's like that Say Anything song where he talks about wearing those pointy shoes.
Okay, I don't know that one.
Mm-hmm. It says, can't get any in this town without these pointy shoes. My feet are so black and blue, but so are you.
Hmm. That sounds like a Panic at the Disco lyric.
Well, yeah, kind of.
Well, let's press on then here the next 30 seconds.
Okay.
Oh, look, I don't dance now, I make money move. Say, I don't gotta dance, I make money move. If I see you now speak, that means I don't fuck with you. I'm a boss to a worker, bitch, I make bloody moves. Now she say she gon' do what or who? Let's find out and see. Cardi B, you know where I'm at, you know where I be. You in the club just to party, I'm there, I get paid a fee. I be in and out them banks so much, I know they
Okay.
This sounds like something else we talked about this year, but I can't place it.
Hmm. It's maybe a little... the beat's okay. Like, I can see why this would play well in a car. But I think it's maybe a little lacking in energy for me right now. I'm kind of waiting for it to explode a little more.
It's a little stilted.
Yeah. And it's also like I'm feeling a little boredom like just with every just like week after week of hearing someone talk about why they're so incredible.
Yeah. Do we know why it's called Bodak Yellow yet?
No. But the album is called Money Moves. Is that right?
I don't know.
So Money Moves would be her life as a stripper.
I don't know.
I that's my interpretation.
Okay, well, Bodak Yellow is not on an album. It is just a single.
Okay. Never mind.
It's got kind of the Migos delivery thing there, right? Where everything is in the same cadence.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, it just becomes kind of like a hypnotic, bouncy at a sleep kind of rhythm, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I love, that's my favorite way to go to sleep.
Mm.
Please bounce me, Papa.
And even if you are going hard, even if you are telling me about how you're running the show and destroying the club, it's just the same rhythm and I'm just bouncing along and like the purrings of a car engine, I'm just lulled right to sleep, man. There's something about that kind of strips away the energy.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. Maybe, though, there's something to be said for it feeling sinister or like an overcast sort of mood. I mean, they can't all be as like really like interesting and explosive as a Lil Peep song, you know?
That's true.
I noticed that I was actually proven wrong here. Literally, the lyrics just says, I don't dance now, I make money moves. So my one piece of my one contribution to this discussion was actually... literally the lyrics say that that's not what it is.
Well, Carly B did used to be a stripper and made money by dancing.
Mm-hmm.
So now she makes the money move towards her.
Hmm. That was definitely you talking, right? That wasn't...
Yeah, no, that was Rap Genius.
Oh.
Another annotation for the lyric, if I see you and I don't speak, that means I don't F with you, says Cardi is no stranger to aggressive dominant lyrics that act as subliminal disses to her rap peers and or anyone she has had a beef with in the past. Sounds like every rapper ever.
Mm-hmm.
She asserts her superiority by staying silent, possibly by implementing passive aggressive tactics. Yet in the next line, she states her position clearly. If you cross her, you'll be the same color as her red bottoms.
I don't, why do I care?
There are only so many words in the English language, and odds are in 5 years, someone's probably going to use the same combination of words.
Exactly.
It's like that mathematical statistic that says that if you gather a bunch of people in the room, two of them are likely to have the same birthday, even though it's much more likely than you would think is possible.
Right. I know this is so boring to talk about, but like, I just don't understand. Like, I'm so done with this whole, the whole force of what you have to say being like, I'm stronger than you. Like, you can't do anything to me because I could defeat you. Like, it just, I don't understand what I'm supposed to get out of that. I don't understand. Am I meant to feel empowered because this person is empowered? You know, like,
I think you're supposed to internalize the song and project it onto the people that you hate.
Okay. But that's still such, it's a pretty simple outlook. I don't know if there's a lot to learn.
Right. But teenagers don't care about that.
What?
Teenagers don't care about that, Mark. They just want to put on this music, broadcast to their haters, and say, get to stepping or you're going to be bloody on my shoes.
Now listen, Charlie, we talked about this. If you're listening to music that's just about this rap music, well, you're going to be grounded.
Okay.
Such a docile child.
Let's keep it going. Let's hear some more. Honestly, don't give a fuck about who in front of me. Drop 2 mixtapes in 6 months. What bitch working as hard as me? I don't bother with these hoes. Don't let these hoes bother me. They see pictures, they say goals. Bitch, I'm who they tryna be. Look, I might just chill in some babe. I might just chill with your boo. I might just spill on your babe. My pussy feel like a lake. He wanna swim with his face. I'm like, okay. Okay. I let him get what he want. He buy me Yves Saint Laurent and the new whip. When it go fast as a horse. Okay. I'll give her credit for switching up her flow there.
Yeah, so will I. I'll also give the song credit for, you know, starting to take a little bit more shape. I mean, it is a song that's building. You know, the bass is, you know, the bass is there. It's doing that bass thing.
Do you know what bape is?
No.
Look, I might just chill in some bape. Bape is short for Bathing Ape, which is a Japanese clothing company specializing in lifestyle streetwear.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Are you not feeling the same way? I'm just so, like,
bored of this?
Yes. It's the same narrative every time. You know, this isn't, like, bad. Like, I'm not going to say this Bodak Yellow is a bad song listening to it, but I what am I supposed to think or feel?
That she is the baddest of them all.
So was the last 5 people we covered.
No, Mark. This one's the baddest.
Okay. I guess I forgot or something. There's a really good lyric in this.
Is it, he wanna swim with his face? I'm like, okay.
That's really good. I was actually thinking that the lyric that precedes that is also very good.
Yeah.
I'm going to read the annotation for that. Did you get to that one yet?
Yeah, you can read that one.
Okay. Due to her sexual performance being so great, Cardi gets treated to Yves Saint Laurent, a French luxury fashion company. She plays on the words lake and swim. She compares her genitals to a lake due to her vaginal discharges. Swim alludes to face sitting, a sexual act in which one partner sits on or over the other's face. Interestingly enough, she once broke a man's nose while she was sitting on his face. Oh, there's a fun video here for this.
I want you to play it, but I don't want you to play it.
Oh, I've already made the decision, friend.
Sitting on a guy's face, right? And he was doing such a good job. Girl, I got carried away and I put my whole weight on him. Bitch, I broke his nose. We had to go to the hospital and say somebody jumped him.
That's terrifying. She sounds like the lady on the street corner that you go for Halloween, and she tells you inappropriate stories about her bedtime.
Did you have one of those ladies in your life?
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm just here for the candy corn. Do you have any Snickers? She started cackling at the end there.
Oh my god. There's a lot in that annotation though that I think is worth reading, you know. There's like a level of literalism to genius annotations that are hilarious.
Like genital discharges.
Yeah, vaginal discharges is pretty good. I mean, like, there's multiple ways that you could describe that in a like sort of textbook fashion, but vaginal discharges is definitely one you could use. Yeah. I don't actually, and I also kind of don't agree that that's necessarily in reference to face sitting. I don't know how much of this is podcast appropriate, but this is necessary. That's not the only way to, you know.
Okay, Mark. We all know your hobbies and pastimes, and yeah, we're gonna proceed.
Okay.
Let's just keep listening. I got the trunk in the front. I'm the hottest in the street. No, you probably heard of me. Got a bag and fix my teeth. Hope you hoes know it ain't cheap. And I pay my mama bills. I ain't got no time to chill. Think these hoes be mad at me. They baby father run a bill. Say, little bitch, you can fuck with me if you wanted to. These expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both. I don't want to choose. And I'm quick, cut a nigga. It's just upsetting because I feel like there's something there, but man, it's so one note. It's so similar and flat, like a number of these big Billboard rap tunes that make it big. There's no rise and fall to the drama here. It's all so similar.
Mm-hmm.
Even the best kind of versions of this stuff with, like, say, Black Beatles and those guys, they're falling victim to the same problems. By the time the third verse comes around, you're so sick of it that there's no reason to get excited about what's happening.
Yeah, it's a problem. And it's not like an unsolvable thing. I think there's like plenty of ways to make a song that you're just not modulating the sound that much. But I think your beat has to be like super duper on, right? Like, you know, we talked about Black Beatles before. We both felt that a little bit by the end of Black Beatles. Like, it's getting a little kind of tiresome. It's just kind of the same thing. But that beat is a murderer. You know what I mean? Like, that's more than enough for me to stick around and enjoy the whole track, even if I feel like I want just a little bit more from it. And I think that if you're not going to do anything with your beat, then I think your vocals have got to start doing something different or bigger or interesting or weird. Just something that it's not just like, I'm just going in with the song. I'm just speaking in line with the song. You know, like, it's got to be...
Yes.
And if it's not that, then your lyrics have to be fascinating. Like, if you're not going to care right. all about that stuff, then what you're saying has to be so good, you know?
And I think there is more creativity with these lyrics than we've heard in some other trap songs. I'm thinking of, like, your Post Malones and your French Montanas and those guys. I think this is more creative than that, but it's still not where it needs to be. It's still not engaging in a way that the people that I think are at the front of the genre are writing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, this is like sort of just like a shoulder shrug of a track so far.
Yeah, it's forgettable to me. That's the biggest problem.
I mean, the fact that in the genius annotations for this, you brought up someone had written that she implements passive aggressive tactics. Like, if that's like the best thing that we can extract from your lyrics is that you're passive aggressive to people, like, then there's not a lot happening there, you know?
She says, got a bag and fix my teeth. Hope you hoes know it ain't cheap. A bag is slang for money. Once Cardi Bae started making a lot of money, she went on and got her mouth operated on. Prior to the operation, Cardi had been subjected to bullying, ridiculed for having money but not using it to fix her teeth. She parodied the bullying in the video for her song, Forever. In 2016, likely around May, Cardi went to Dr. Catrice Austin, an esteemed dentist, who in 2015 made its dental product report's top 25 women in dentistry list.
Whoa!
Cardi spoke about the operation and why she decided to get it done in the following video.
I don't feel comfortable. If you are tired of people talking about you, then go and fix it. Like, it's your right to fix it. And why not go to the best? Like, I personally recommend Dr. Catrice. Like, not only did practically half of Hollywood, did they mouth with her, like seriously, truly, like, I'm not gonna say no names, but it's just like, when you come to the office, you find out who, or if you hear it word from mouth, you find out who. And it was actually artists that recommended me to get my teeth fixed with her. And she's truly the best. Like, she's truly the best. Make you feel comfortable. Like, I was like, Dr. Catrice, when I come in there, you gotta put me to sleep.
What? That's so many words.
She's just like the best, you know?
That's pretty much the entire extent of what she said. Well,
every day I get so scared. I get so scared that our world is just slowly crumbling around us and that human interaction has been forever relegated to the lowest common denominator thanks to presidents and popular famous people and just
when you say presidents, you say presidents, you mean like Barack Obama, someone who is famously not a good public speaker, right?
Of course. And the precedents of other presidents speaking, right?
Like Bill Clinton, famously known to be a poor public speaker,
man. Like, what are we doing? Where are we going? What is happening to everyone?
That was one of those times where I felt like that's when you start listening to do you ever talk to someone when you start listening to them, you're like, oh, okay, like you're trying to figure out where their story is going, but by the end of it you don't remember why you started talking to them. Like, it's just gone in so many directions
and they don't either.
Yeah. And then they just sort of left to continue on forever. And then they end with something like, yeah, well, just how it goes.
Or they end with, so.
Or they end with a completely vacant stare into the nothingness and you slowly back away.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we cannot back away from this track yet. We got more to go. Let's hit it.
Oh, so don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now. I make money moves. Say, I don't gotta dance, I make money move. If I see you now speak, that means I don't fuck with you. I'm a boss who a worker, bitch, I make bloody moves. If you a pussy, you get popped. You a goofy, you a op. Don't you come around my way. You can't hang around my block. And I just check my account, turns out I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich. I put my head in a bo-
She's rich, she's rich, she's rich.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think there's moments on this thing that are a little bit more than some of the other rap songs that we've listened to, or God knows, especially some of the country songs that we've talked about. That I think that's kind of clever, that reference.
Yeah.
I'm into that. I like how that sounds with the rich, rich, rich. That sounds fine.
Yeah.
I actually had more fun listening to Cardi B speak. I was more interested.
Maybe we could find some more autobiographical videos of her life, like video diaries or,
yeah,
you know, Snapchat vids.
If there is one thing that could happen in this song that would make it the greatest song of the year, like with the minute 20, if you know, 10 seconds we got left or whatever, what would have to happen, like, for it to be your greatest song of the year? What would have to happen right now?
I want immediate dissonant trumpets.
Okay.
Banging piano. And then I want Danny Brown to come in and feature all over the end of it twice as fast as he's ever rapped before.
Twice as fast?
Yeah. So, like, just an insane feature.
Yeah. Like a auctioneer. Like,
all right. Yeah.
Destroy. Okay. Could I add to that?
Yeah.
I think also on top of that, there needs to be a pause. Like, he needs to go through, I think it, what would you say, 3 or 4 verses in the span of 15 seconds?
Yeah, okay.
3 or 4 maybe? Like you said, blistering speed like no one's ever heard. And then total silence in the music. And then it's okay, total dead silence. And then you're wondering what's about to happen. And it's like 5 seconds, like enough for you to think about it. And then you just hear from your old friend LP a little, yeah. And then a killer mic verse.
And honestly, if Danny Brown just did Ain't It Funny 3 times as fast as he has before, I'm sure that'd be okay.
Ain't it funny,
ain't it?
Oh, that would be a nightmare to listen to.
Yeah, and I'd love it. I'd give it 5 stars.
How about this? Slow Ain't It Funny down by twice as
much.
Oh, yeah. Trash, trying to swear the men for the house that found it better than better north.
Huh?
Ain't it funny how it happens? Ain't it?
Yeah.
That would be pretty good.
You better have some fun with the editing here when you do this, throw all this stuff.
Oh, God. I feel like this is going to end up being the most heavily edited conversation for
with all the silence, with all of the emptiness that we have to cover up our discussion.
Yeah, I can't tell if it's going to be more helpful to just cut out the discussion as well and just have the song or...
Yeah. All right, well, let's keep going.
My hip, I bet you dip, he dip, she dip. I say, I get the money and go. This shit is hot like a stove. My pussy glitter is gold. Tell that little bitch play her role. I just a rover, no rolls. I just came up in a rave. I need to fill up the tank. No, I need to fill up the safe. I need to let all these hoes know that none of they niggas is safe. I go to dinner and steak. The real can relate. I used to live in the peace. Now it's a crib with a gate. Rolly got charms, the life busted face. Hard to let these bitches know. Just in case these hoes forgot.
It's definitely more of that song.
Yeah, it's definitely the next 30 seconds of that song. And I stand by that it's, you know, it's not the worst thing we've heard this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little flat and uninteresting.
Yeah. You know, and it's, I don't know, it's good though. Like, I get frustrated at the lack of, I don't know, diversity in rap music. Like, it's a lot of male perspectives, and like, there's some like minor controversy recently where Eric Andre pointed out that some very prominent trap artists have like been accused of being wife beaters and things, and everyone ignores it. And I do think it's a space in which that like male aggression is so overly dominant, especially on the radio. So, you know, there's something to be said for listening to more female voices.
I think that's true. I think that's a good thing.
I could have really just said, I like It's a Girl.
I do. I do too. Okay, good. Next 30 seconds.
Just want to check the mail, another check from Mona. Got the little bitch. You can fuck with me if you wanted to. These expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both. I don't want to choose, and I'm quick. Cut a nigga off, so don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now, I make money moves. Say, I don't gotta dance, I make money move. If I see you now speak, that means I don't fuck with
she don't what? I think that chorus is okay.
Where are we at in the song? This is the last chorus.
We got about 14 seconds to go.
Okay, well... there's another annotation here about her grandma's house. Oh, just kidding. My phone died.
I still have no idea what Bodak Yellow means.
What do you think it means?
I'm going to assume Bodak is either a car or a luxury brand that I can't afford.
Interesting. Interesting. I'm going to say it's just one of those, like, colors. Like, what do they call those things? Like, on the color spectrum, it's like a specific shade, and there's a company who names the shades of yellow and stuff.
Like the swatches?
Yeah. Let's say it's a color swatch, and she's a big visual designer fan.
Well, it is the first female rap track to break into the top 10 since Anaconda back in 2014.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Mark, I got about an inch of water left in my glass. I'm going to swig it down now, okay?
Oh, God. What's in the water?
I'm a boss to a worker, bitch. I make bloody moves. Bloody moves.
It was yellow water.
Okay.
Wow. We have never been worse at our jobs.
That was not a great topic for conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, blame the hater, not the game.
You're right. We've been doing this game for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, are you going to take this track?
That's all right.
Is that a yes?
No, that's all right.
I was going to say. You're telling me after that scintillating conversation that you just had, you want to take this thing on your best stuff track? It's a big thumbs down from me as well. Sorry, Cardi B. I'm intrigued. I want to see more from her, but man, that's not the way you do it.
It was almost more fun to listen to something terrible.
Yeah. Agreed. Let's hope we get something even worse next week. All right. Mark, have you listened to anything else in the past week?
Not really. I don't know if I had talked about this last week or not, but I listened to the newest 2 Chainz album, which was...
Oh, good. Yeah. Beautiful 2 Chainz Girls.
Right. Yeah. What's it called? It's called something like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever. That's a good album. I'm not necessarily in love with it, but I think there are some really solid... Like, I think 2 Chainz is a consistent... artist, you know, when it's you know, yeah. What you're getting, and it just so happens that what you're getting is usually pretty good. So yeah, good experience there, but that's it for
awesome.
Me.
I'll just talk briefly. I listened to Passion Pits, A Tremendous Sea of Love. I'll say I'm not the biggest Passion Pit fan. I think that Sleepyhead is something incredible. I like Manners okay. I do not like Gossamer as much as everyone else does. Though I know it's certainly a huge album. You like that one quite a bit, right, Mark?
I do. I like Passion Pit quite a bit.
Yeah. I thought Kindred was a letdown, but this latest album is interesting. He released it on Twitter for free a few months ago.
Wow.
But it's now on the streaming services. And this is an album that sounds much more experimental than their previous stuff. There's a number of lyricless tracks on this thing, trying to play with the sound of the synths and the melodies. Some really, I think, intriguing stuff on here. Very different than what typical Passion Pit is used to putting out. There are very few big singles on here, like something like Take a Walk, which I think the lead singer has come to resent a bit, the popularity of that song. But I want to play maybe just a couple of tracks from this record that I think are pretty good. There is a really gorgeous opening with Moonbeam that sounds just great. Here's a little taste of that. If you're into that kind of stuff, you probably like Passion Pit a whole lot, and you'll probably like this album. Some other good stuff on here. I think To the Other Side is a really good track, too. More traditional sounding. Here's a bit of that. It sounds like another song that I know, but I can't seem to place it. And I keep feeling like the song that it reminds me of is on the tip of my tongue, and I don't know what it is.
Could it be Bodak Yellow?
I don't think it's that one. No.
Hmm.
There is some really cool stuff on this thing. I still don't know that I have a full, complete understanding of the record, but it is far more experimental than I expected. More instrumental pieces than just single tracks, like, you know, singles tracks. It's pretty short. It's a compelling listen. I like it more than Kindred. And I think it's an interesting potential future for what this band might release. It seems like they're taking an indefinite hiatus due to the mental health of the lead singer and the vicious album and recording cycle that he found just too difficult to keep up with. So who knows if we'll see more from these guys in the future. But if we do, I think it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I could be completely wrong in this, but I seem to remember there being actually like some talk of him quitting years ago too.
Yeah. I don't know about that. I can't speak to it, but who knows? I gotta say though, I mean, they're putting out quite a bit of music. You know, they've got like what, 3 albums in the past 6 years. So that's what, and I think 4 in the past 6 years. So there may be 7. Yeah, 7 sounds right. That's a lot of work for a group of guys and one guy in particular.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
So all the best to Passion Pit. That's Tremendous Sea of Love. Give it a listen. It's pretty interesting. There's some cool stuff on it.
Will do.
All right. That'll do it for me. So let's talk next week, Mark. The time has come. The evil has landed. And we are officially going to talk about our first Queens of the Stone Age record on here. Our brand new one. We've talked to Songs for the Deaf in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first time that you and I will both get to listen to a record for the first time. Villains. Is out this week here. I'm very excited to give it a spin, see what Josh Homme and the band have been up to with Mark Ronson on the production helm. It's going to be an interesting record, I think. I don't know how good it's going to be, but it'll certainly be worth talking about.
You know what? There is actually something I listened to. I just
tell me.
I just remembered why I didn't listen to anything this week, because I've been listening to a lot. And the reason why is because I have been listening to that LCD Sound System single pretty much on repeat since it came out last week.
That's tonight?
That's exactly right. It's tonight.
It is tonight.
It is tonight. And I listened to it a butt ton. There's a video.
Is it a who boy?
It's a real who boy. All right? I'll tell you what, because... You know, the first two singles they released already were, you know, some of their more introspective stuff, their earnest rock song. And finally, we're getting a sense of, hey, this is that one sarcastic sort of like dance group, right?
Yeah.
And I'll leave you, because you're definitely going to be listening to it when it comes around. so I'll leave you to listen to it. I won't play any clips from it. But the sort of key concept in the song is James Murphy felt that every time he listened to a song on the radio, every song was about like all we have is tonight, like all we have is each other in this moment tonight, and that's it.
Yeah.
And he spins that to make every popular artist sound like they are obsessed with dying and maybe suicidal.
Hmm.
And that they're all fatalistic, and it's a corker. I'll tell you what, it's a real corker.
Well, that is in just about 2 weeks here, Mark. So
oh my God.
The time is nearly upon us. It's going to be our Labor Day record.
Oh, my God. Do you see that that album art?
Yeah, it's pretty great.
It's pretty ridiculous. It doesn't look anything like any other album art. Oh, my God. I'm going to listen to it right after we're done recording. I'm going to go right back into it. I got to get another 15 listens in.
I mean, this record was announced the week we started this show, and so it's been... almost 2 years in the making here.
I've been waiting. I'm ready.
It's all coming together.
That's right. That's right.
All right. We'll talk Queens of the Stone Age first, and then we'll do some LCD the following week, yeah?
Oh, God. I can't believe it's happening.
Head-to-head, two of our favorites.
Oh, my God.
All right. Let's talk the Billboard pick of the week. Mark, we're going way down the Billboard this week because everything is popular, we've already talked about.
Okay, good.
So in order, we have Despacito, Wild Thoughts, Bodak Yellow is at number 3 this week. Unforgettable, Believer, Attention, There's Nothing Holding Me Back, That's What I Like, Shape of You, Body Like a Back Road, and I'm the One, making up the top 11 on the Billboard Hot 100 for this week. The next track coming in at number 12 is the one we will discuss. It is a rapper known as 21 Savage, and his song is Bank Account.
Okay. Hey, I'm ready to listen to that. I was going to listen to that album, actually.
All right. Well, game on.
Finally.
If you want a little update to the Billboard 200 albums, Kesha got her number one slot.
Great.
So we would have listened to that album anyways.
Yeah. That's like when Schoolboy Q got Billboard.
Every now and then, the stars would align.
Yeah.
This is one of those weeks.
Yeah.
All right. Well, tune in next week for our discussion of Queens of the Stone Age and 21 Savage. Do be sure to check us out on all the social medias. Give us a review on that iTunes store if you subscribe and are a faithful listener. We sure would love to hear from you. It helps us feel like we're doing good at our job here. And you know, do your duty to your podcast as a faithful listener. We sure would appreciate it. Anything else, Mark?
Yeah, there's one other thing. Thank you for being my friends and my family. Thank you for accepting me for who I am. Thank you for being a listener.
And as we go into the infinite cosmos, just know that we are nothing, that Weekly Beats is everything, and all music is terrible.
That is our prayer.
For the non-religious. That is our hymn.
Amen.
Play that outro music!